Blog Talk Radio.
Alrighty, good evening, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Dr. Guy's Monday Night Gumbo.
Good evening. Hey, Wise Brown.
Wise Brown?
Yes, hey, Dr. Guy. I didn't want to talk over you. I'm sorry.
Oh, it's okay. I don't think you heard me at first. Hey, Sean.
How you ladies doing tonight?
Okay, so we are going to get into our show, but before that, we do just want to let all of our listeners know that Dr. Guy's Monday Night Gumbo is not intended to be therapy, but the sole purpose is to disseminate information, increase dialogue across ages, sexual orientations, religious background. Each week we try to bring you a entertaining yet informative show, and like always, I think this one will be just as, I guess, informative. So, let's go ahead and get right into tonight's show topic, and that is entitled, Is There Really a Shortage of Good Black Men? So, I'm just going to ask Sean, because you're the only male right now, hearing that title, how does that make you feel as a black man?
Interestingly enough, like, I don't think there's a shortage, but I'm not looking for black men, so I might not be the best. No, I got a lot of friends that I think are good black men, so, you know, like, I don't think that there's a shortage, but then, like I said, I'm not looking for black men, so, you know, I might not be the best judge for that question.
Well, I think if the title, you know, of the show was, Is There a Shortage of Good Black Women?, I'm not looking for a woman, but I think I would feel a certain way about that, and I would probably speak to that as a black woman myself. So,
well, you know, I've always had the position on the show that, you know, dating out of your race is something that I don't understand because, like I said, I date all the humans. So if you're looking specifically for someone in a certain gender group, then that might be problematic. But, you know, when you say there are roughly 45 million black people in the United States, but there are 316 million people. So if you say there are roughly, you know, 150 million women, then, you know, I kind of like my odds.
Yes. I figured you would say that. Wise Brown, what are your thoughts as we get started on our topic?
Oh, well, I'm just going to say that, yes, I do believe that there are a lot of good black men in the United States of America today. So I'm throwing my hand in the sky. Power to the people. Yes, I say yes, yes, yes.
Okay, so obviously this is not a new topic. If you go to Google and just put in anything about shortage of black men or anything related to that topic, it pulls up tons of articles. So we're not talking about something that is new. We're not talking about something that no one has mentioned before. And, Andre, even when we did the research study, this came up multiple times about women making comments that inferred that there were no good black men left. So how was it in 2015? And we did that in, what, 2007, 2008?
Wow.
So I know it didn't seem like it was that long ago. So years later, we're still hearing women make the same comment that there are no good black men or there are not enough good black men. So I guess I thought that we should bring this topic back. There's even a gentleman, looks like this is in 2013. His name is Aaron Smith, and he wrote a book describing exactly what we're saying. Is there a shortage of good black men? And in this book, he kind of chronicles his life, but he kind of supports the idea that, yes, there are still some black men out there. So I believe that there are good black men. You believe, Andrea, that there are good black men. I'm not sure what Sean believes, but if we're saying
I believe
that
there's a shortage of good black women.
It just
so
you never see
the,
amazing.
The problem being is, well, why are you saying that? The problem is you have no good black women looking for good black men, and you know that's kind of what I see. But, you know.
Now, Sean, that was a disgusting statement. So come on.
That's how I feel. Like, if you want to categorize it that way, that's fine. But, you know, when you're chronicling what women say that they want and, you know, how actually obtainable those things are by and large, then, yes, there's a shortage, but there are an ample supply of people who are willing to work in relationships. But for what we have, the narrative that we have created in terms of what the ideal man and what's on the list, yeah, because those people are unattainable and they really don't exist. And if they exist, they exist in very small numbers.
Okay, so it sounds like what Sean is talking about is a specific population. Is that what you're referring to?
Yeah. Like, you know, I always, I believe on the last show we discussed, you know, women want a guy who may be, you know, financially stable, and we define that as making $100,000 or more. And also, perhaps some women had an affinity for men who were over 6 feet. So for the woman who's looking for a man who is over 6 feet, who makes over $100,000, based on my research, of the 21 million black men in America, that's 378,000 people that match that criteria. And we're not talking about people who may be already married or gay, so you can kind of take that down a little further. So we'll say the 23 million black women, we'll say half of that is eligible. So if we say roughly 12 million black women are looking for 400,000. If 12 million black women are looking for 400,000 men, yeah, there's a shortage.
Okay, and so this is my thing. So I think if that is the specific criteria, then you're right. But just, I mean, today the topic is, are there, what's the topic?
Is there a shortage of good black men?
Right, and a good black man isn't described as a man who is over 6 feet tall. Like, that's not a description of a good black man. So I think that, you know,
that is their description.
Okay, for some people. So that's why I said to you that was disgusting when you said there are no good black women or not enough good black women looking for whatever that was that you said, because you're talking about a specific population of people. So you're talking about women who are looking for men who are over 6 feet. That is totally different than good black men. It's totally different.
Well, considering one of us dates and one of us doesn't, I believe I can speak to the narrative of the availability of black women a little better than you can.
But what you're saying is, so you're categorizing men over 6 foot tall as being good black man, like that's what that means. But there are too many other characteristics of a good black man besides his height, the height of being over 6 foot tall.
Well,
you know,
speaking to women, that is two of the characteristics that I hear come up a lot.
Okay, the women that you speak to, that does not mean that is the only criteria for a good black man.
Let's put this out to our listeners, because it looks like we have some hands up and they want to join in the conversation and we want to hear from them. Andre, you actually brought up the next question that I was going to ask about, because the show topic is there a shortage of good, and it's quotation marks over good, is there a shortage of good black men? I think we first have to look at the definition of what are we considering a good black man. So before we can even say there's a shortage of them or not, who are they? And
mm-hmm.
what classifies you for being, you know, as a good man?
Exactly.
So I don't know. Let's come back to that, because we have a caller who's had their hand up. So we're going to go to the phone line, and then we'll come back to that question about what is a quote-unquote good black man. So we're going to go to the lines at 901. You're on the air.
Oh, my God, you ladies are back. Oh, my God. Steve! You know, oh, my God. You know, I saw the email. I was like, what the hell? They haven't been on the air in, like, forever. This is Joe Neckbone, by the way. Welcome back, ladies.
It's Joe Neckbone.
Hey, Joe Neckbone.
Yo, how you doing?
We are well. So we are glad you showed up to the party.
Yeah, I'm going to make it brief because I'm kind of in the middle of a lot of things. But I think what you need to understand is there is a war for the perception of black women. All right? And, you know, that whole idea of are there a shortage of good black men feeds into that. If you say something enough, people buy into it and believe it. And so the target is the mind of black women because corporate America has figured out that you guys will spend money to overcome a shortcoming. Your hair isn't good enough, fine. We're going to sell you weaves at, you know, billions of dollars to compensate for your esteem. Your makeup isn't good enough. You're not getting the men you want because you don't wear right makeup. We're going to sell you this makeup to make you feel better and look beautiful and catch the man in your dreams. So what I think a lot of women need to realize is they're, you know, particularly my sisters, you guys are under fire from corporate America. If you notice, there's all these commercials for black people meet online. Can't find a man you want. You want some love. And they come on at a certain hour because they know you're vulnerable at that hour if you're by yourself. So what I'm saying is, you know, we have to divorce ourselves from these statements that tell us we're not good enough, we're not meeting each other, we're not marrying, and on and on and on. Because there's no real, if you notice, when people say that, they don't have any facts behind it. You know, it's all perception. It's all an opinion. There's no real hardcore facts. So what I'm saying is don't buy into the hype. Don't buy into it. If you're a woman, you can find the man that you want, and that's all that matters. It doesn't matter if there was one man. You know, if you find that guy, that's good for you. So I think you have to understand the manipulations, you know, on a woman's mind. You guys are the CFOs of your families. You guys spend money on stuff. You know, men don't. You know, you don't see advertisements for strip clubs online, you know, on TV or commercials. You don't see men, you know, commercials saying, you know, your love life not good, go to the strip club and throw dollars at this stripper. Doesn't happen. So what I'm saying is understand where the real war is. The war is for your mind and your esteem. And if corporate America can get a hold of that, they're going to get rich off it. And that's all I got to say. I'll jump back out because I got a bunch of stuff to do. Glad to see you back. I'll be on Monday.
Thanks, Joe Neckbone.
Yes, yes. Good point. Very good point.
Oh, my goodness. So he made a valid point that he said that some of it is our perception and that it's what society wants us to believe. That sounds pretty valid. But then there are also some statistics that show that when you look at the marriage rates, African-American numbers are down. Well, everyone's numbers are down across the board, but African-Americans are getting married the least when you look at everybody else compared to, you know, Hispanics, Asians, and Caucasians. So there's some numbers there. But I do agree with him that there are still good men, at least. We still didn't get a good definition. So I pose that question again, if anybody wants to answer that. What do you think a good black man is or should be? Maybe I should say that. Is that better? Should be, is.
What? Okay, and so would say that again. So you said you are just
asking the question, how do we answer, is there a shortage of good black men if we don't define what good technically is? Because Sean was saying that, and we do hear a lot of women talking about the 666, but is that really their definition of a good man, or is that what they would like for their man to be? Because I think those might be two different things.
No, I definitely think that those are two different things, and that was the point that I was trying to bring out. Yeah, that's what I was actually challenging Sean with, and so that's why I think it is important for us to categorize, to actually say, or rather to define what a good black man is, because it doesn't look like one specific thing. Yeah, and there is no one specific black woman. So what's good for one woman may not be good for another, but it doesn't mean that he's not a good black man.
I think, though, that there are probably some general characteristics of what we might consider a good black man to be, or even if we were talking about a good woman, there's definitely some characteristics to that person.
Okay, and you know what I'm thinking, because I'm just going back to last week when we were discussing, and the three of us were all of a sudden trying to come up with this list of what is it? It was something about
workplace.
Clues to as how, you know, if your mate was cheating at the workplace. But so it, negating that, why don't we use information from the research? So, you know, some of the things that the women said in the research, something that they described as being a characteristics of a good black man. And I know one thing was employment. So as long as he's employed, right?
Yeah, correct. Now, that's different from having a degree. Because there were some articles that.
Well,
not,
I didn't say educated. I said employment.
True.
Right? So, because that's another condition. That's another characteristic is education.
Correct. And education doesn't always equate to a degree. Because you can be highly educated and not have a degree.
True.
Several entrepreneurs are successful in their businesses and they don't have a degree. So that would technically kind of create another category. But employment is definitely high on the list.
Well, employment is such a broad term, though.
So should it be narrowed down?
Yeah, what do you mean by that? Could you please expand on that?
Sure. I mean, you know, employment means that you are working. That doesn't necessarily mean you have a career. So there's a difference between being employed and having a career or a career path.
That, I mean, that's true. That's fair. That's true.
True. It would seem to be that when you talk about employability, is that what women are really looking for is stability. So that could encompass you having a career, obviously, which probably implies that there's some longevity there, or even if you have a job, depending on that job. And you know what? I can't even say that, because if you have a job and you've been there for 15 years, there's still stability there.
Right.
So,
I think what's interesting is that I'm not sure exactly when this shift occurred, but, you know, at one point, you know, there was a mass emphasis on education and going to school and procuring these white-collar jobs. But, you know, there are a lot of people that have blue-collar jobs that are kind of overlooked sometimes. So, like, when we talk about what the narrative is of what my, you know, good black man looks like, you know, some women really don't understand that a plumber can be, you know, very well off financially, although he may not physically look it when he is, you know, doing his work. So, you know, that's something I think that, you know, needs to change. And I think that is kind of one of the pitfalls that we have when we discuss, you know, good black men and what the narrative looks like. And it speaks to some of the things we said earlier when we talk about am I settling, you know, because until you really realize what's available, you know, you may feel like your list is viable. So until you come to these conclusions and you actually run some of these numbers, so, you know, like I was saying, for instance, with, 1 million black men in America, only 16% have a bachelor's degree or higher. So, you know, the more filters that you put on the guy that you're looking for, the more difficult it is for you to find him, instead of being a little bit more open and taking everything on more of a case-by-case basis.
Yeah, so we agree. And I think people come to that with maturity.
Well,
and I think
who is we? I just want to know who we is. You said we agree. I wanted to know who is we. I thought Dr. Wise Brown could only speak for Dr. Wise Brown.
Well, I'm saying I agree with you. We agree.
Oh, you said you agree. Who's we? But you said we. We implies more than one person.
Oh, I meant to say we agree. You and I are agree.
You agree with me.
I agree with you.
Oh, we are in agreement, you and I.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay. Well, I
think he's just so amazed that you guys actually agree on something for the first time. He has to make sure he understood what you were saying.
I got it.
I think that's
smashing it all in my face.
Confused.
I got it.
Right.
No, I'm also confused. That's all.
He had to get some clarity on that. Well,
right.
You're giving us numbers, Sean, which, okay, I understand those. And you said if women take out the filters, then they may open themselves up to more opportunities. Okay, so when I think about that, I'm on the fence because I hear what you're saying, to not be as exclusive or as tied to your list that we've talked about on the show before, you know, what's on your list. But if you take out too many filters, do you end up with something that you really don't want? Because some of those filters are in place for a reason.
Well, why are the filters there, though? Like, a
because
lot of times
anything
women,
else, filters help to protect, like, it keeps certain things out that shouldn't be there.
Well, the problem is what you're actually desiring isn't really the result of the filter. The filter is kind of like a crutch because you don't want to get invested to find out yourself. You're not saying that you want someone who makes $100,000 a year. You want somebody who's stable and financially responsible, but you don't know what that is, so you just put a number on it. You're not saying that you want somebody with a degree or a higher or a higher level degree. What you want is someone who may be smart. So instead of trying to figure out if they're smart, because you may not know what smart is yourself, you say, well, I need somebody with a degree. So to me, the filters are more a crutch for people who are being lazy and not doing their due diligence.
Ooh. Ooh, Sean, that was a low blow to say that they're being lazy and not doing their due diligence.
Well, I mean, that's what it is, though.
I'm not sure.
Rather than getting to know a person, you know, like, say, for instance, when I've traveled and I've met people from different countries, they don't ask you what you do, you know. They don't try to determine your social value. They try to figure out who you are first. But, you know, the first thing that you hear on a date is, you know, okay, where are you from? What do you do? You know, how long you been doing that? Like, the questions are so, you know, to a point where you're going through the filter already. You know, you got an apartment or a house. You know, what kind of car you got? Okay, what kind of job you got? So, you know, you don't know if that's by choice or that's the, you know, only car that they can afford, but because you're being lazy and not trying to get to know the person and you're using your filters, a lot of times you miss out on, well, hey, maybe the guy, he just, you know, his daddy got a Hyundai dealership, you know, like, and he got a Hyundai. So, you know, a lot of times I think that's what happens when we talk about, you know, black men and can't find anybody. It may be the process that you're using. It may not be the actual target that you're trying to acquire.
I mean, I understand that, but some of, again, I'll go back to, some of those filters are a necessity. And if you don't find out early on, what – if I'm okay, let's just say.
What's a necessity, though? Like,
okay,
I'm
here's
confused
an example.
About the filter
is,
being. What filter is a necessity?
Here, this is a filter.
Are you a felon?
This is a filter, and this may be my own. Not maybe. This is my own. So I'm just going to use an example from my own life because I can only speak for me personally. I'm not a smoker, and I dislike the smell of smoke. I don't like being around the smoke. I just don't like smoking. So. That's probably the first thing, one of the first things I'm asking is, are you a smoker? And, yes, that's a filter, and I could be excluding someone, but I don't like it. I don't like anything about it. So if I don't ask it in our first encounter or second or third, let's say now we're on the 10th date. We're having a good old time. And all of a sudden, he pulls out a cigarette and lights up and says, oh, I didn't know you had a problem with it. Well, you never said anything. You never asked me. So now I'm 10 dates into this thing. I'm liking this joker, and I got to ditch him because I can't stand the smoke. But if
well,
I would have addressed that question early
preference.
On, it's part of the filter.
I don't think that's a filter. I think that's a preference. Like, there's certain things you can prefer, but that's because that's your personal preference. Like, you can tell me that there's something about smoke that is harmful for you. So that's a preference that you don't want to deal with. But when we start talking about people who don't have a master's level degree, I don't see that as a preference. Like, that's not something that's going to affect you physically.
I think that's a preference, too, saying you want to date someone who has a master's degree. What did you hear us saying, Andrea? Because I still see it all as part of your filter. All of it is a preference. When we talk about what's a good man, all of that is your preference, because what I believe a good man is, Andrea may not. Like, her good man may be something completely different.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what I'm saying is the smoking is something that can harm you.
Yes.
It causes you stress and trauma. Someone not having a master's degree isn't going to cause you stress and drama and cause you to go to the doctor.
But look,
so to
there
me,
are
those
some...
two things are separate in that regard.
But what if I say, okay, because I'm going to use what you said, it does not cause you stress and trauma. The smoking can. Let's say, what if I say I believe a good man is someone who is faithful and doesn't cheat on their spouse. Now, that's not physical, right? So are you telling me that's a preference instead of a filter?
Yes, you prefer to be in a monogamous relationship, not somebody
that's
who
not a,
in being
you
a,
said,
a poly. What?
No. You said it could cause stress, and what was the other one? Stress and something. What was the
trauma.
Other one? A physical trauma.
Trauma.
Well, that could cause stress and a physical trauma, too.
Wow. How so?
How? You don't know how that could cause stress if you want to be
a
in a monogamous.
Huh?
Yes.
Well,
you
I
do
mean,
know
I
stress
think,
kills.
I think there's a difference between having a filter and finding out if you're compatible. Like, I think we're using different words, and the way that I am looking at it is everyone is using, well, Dr. Guys used the word filter for everything. I'm not saying that you shouldn't have things that you desire, but you need to find out if you're compatible with that person. That doesn't mean it's a filter. Like, there are certain ways or dogma of you want to look at relationships, a certain mindset that you need to be on one accord. I understand that, but having an idea of do you want to be in a monogamous relationship is not equivalent to do you have a master's degree. Because it's more of a philosophy that, okay, I date multiple people or I date one person, not, you know, a piece of paper that's on the wall.
Again, I think it's still part of your filter.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think so, too. I think y'all are just, what is it, either you
well, I don't think it's filtering. I think it's just being compatible. Like, I'm not sure if we're using those words as synonyms, but, like, when I date someone, I don't feel like I'm filtering them out. I'm trying to see if we're compatible. And the things that you're talking about in terms of philosophies on smoking or non-smoking, you know, being monogamous or not monogamous, you know, I don't feel that's filtering. I think that's dating and finding out if I'm compatible. Like, when I start to apply things that I feel like are superficial in that regard, which I feel... You know, if you talk about the, you know, certain number of dollars per year income or, you know, your education base, things that may or may not be critical in that regard, that's different than having a philosophy on you coming home and I'm with three other women.
Well, what I think, y'all, it's the same thing because, like you just said, getting to know someone. So at some point, you're going to decide by filtering out whether it's this is a good one or this is a bad one. So it's the same thing, depending on whatever characteristic there is that either you agree with, you're compatible with, or that you're not. So it's the same process. Filtering
out things. I don't like the word filter because
Well, there's a lot of things that you just don't like. So then you just go to the left.
I'm saying in terms of when you're dating somebody, do you say, "Well, I liked him because I filtered everybody else out," or do you say, "Well, we dated and we're compatible"? I mean, honestly, I think it's just more of a male-female thing, you know, because I don't think that we process the same way you process. So it may make perfect sense to y'all, but it makes no sense to me.
Okay, and that's fine.
Yeah, I think it's a processing difference. I will I like the comment that you said about if people are compatible. So one of the questions that I have is, as we talk about, is there a shortage of black men? One, the question is, why do you guys believe black women are saying that there's a shortage of black men? Like, what do you believe is creating that concept or belief system? And then two, is it not that it's not a shortage versus what Sean is saying, women are just not finding men that are compatible with them?
Well, and this is what, let me just jump in because I'm sure Sean has a lot to say about this. But for me, I think that it may go a step further than finding men whom are compatible with them. I'm thinking that in some cases, some of the women are finding black men that they think are compatible with them. However, maybe those black men aren't interested in them. You know, sometimes the relationship doesn't go where the, you know, female, and since that's what we're talking about here, but where the female would want it to go. And so, you know, because maybe the man has different plans or doesn't see the same compatibility with the woman. And so it doesn't last. You know, the guy is not there or he's not interested or he's on to the next one. So I think a lot of times black women, some of them, will get to a place where they'll say, well, yeah, there are no good black men, you know, because of their personal experience. But I think that it's more than compatibility. I think that sometimes, yes, they are compatible. However, maybe the black man who they were engaging with didn't find them compatible.
Sean, you want me to ask the question again?
No, definitely. Like, okay. I mean, I think now it's more of a society thing. Like, everybody's pretty much their own independent entity or corporation. And, you know, society has gotten to the place it's more about the turn up. Like, hey, we're about to turn up. So, you know, it's not that marriage is revered as it used to be. It's like a tool, but it's not like, you know, a necessity like it had to be at one point. So, you know, now that you have people that have options, you know, you don't necessarily find that same urgency as you once did because people go out and then take pictures of themselves out instead of talk to people that's actually there. So, you know, I think it's more of a societal shift.
It drives me crazy, but drives me crazy.
That's a whole nother show, the selfie craze.
Oh, not only selfie, but just no one, you know, a lot of people, a pet peeve of mine is to sit down with someone at dinner or lunch, you know, or some type of engagement, and people are on their phones. It drives me crazy. So I get up and I leave and I go home because what am I there for? Like, seriously, it's unnecessary. It makes no sense. But go ahead.
Like the Wild Brown is not about to turn up.
It's not about, excuse me?
We know you are not about to turn up.
That I'm not going to turn up?
So you're not about to turn up.
We're going to go to the phone lines because we got some hands up. So let's see. We are going to go to Chicago at 773. It looks like there's a few Chicago. So this one is 773-331. You're on the air.
What's going on?
Hey.
Hello.
Hey.
How you doing tonight? Come on in. Come on in, brother. I need some help.
Chilling. I don't know if I'm going to help out too much, but I know the original question is that there's not enough black men in the world, but I would venture to say there's not enough good men, period, not just black, but black, white, purple, green, et cetera, because I think there's a lot of people with a lot of the same issues, like commitment issues, issues from, like, broken homes, and I don't think that that's a race-specific situation. You know what I'm saying? Across the board.
That seems valid, but do you ever hear about, because, again, if you Google black men, are there good black men, I promise you it's going to pull up multiple articles and blogs. Do you think other minority groups or just other groups are having the same conversations? Like, I've never heard of a Latino woman saying, oh, my goodness, I don't think there's enough good Latino men. Like, I've never encountered that, and we live in Texas, so it's a pretty large Mexican population here, and I don't hear those conversations. So do you think we just focus on,
you're saying? I don't really hear those conversations either, but just from experience talking to people of all colors and races, they all suck.
That's true.
So just coming from a personal perspective, not necessarily from a research perspective, I think as black people we're a little bit more open, especially as of lately with a lot of, you know, the racially motivated conversation that's taking place. So I think we speak out a little bit more than other cultures. But I think ultimately, you know, it's just a difficult time finding good people, you know, across the board.
Oh, I'll go with that. Thanks for that comment. That was definitely a different perspective that we haven't talked about tonight on the show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you for that.
For sure. And, ma'am, I want to applaud you and Sean for having the same thought at one point. I've never heard that before, so, you know what I'm saying? Kudos to y'all. I feel like we're making progress.
So it wasn't just me, huh? You was surprised, too. I was like, who is we? Like us together?
Right. We should take a selfie of that, because I don't know, in order to keep it.
Nah,
in order
I'm not
going to
sign
it.
Off on that.
Thank you. Continue to tune in.
We got to get back to business next week. But.
All right, thank you.
All right.
Yeah.
And we're going to go back to the line.
Real quick, you know, about Hispanic culture, we know that they come from more of a patriarchal structure where that necessarily wouldn't play out in that capacity anyway. I just wanted to throw that out there.
I mean, they do come from a patriarchal society. Well, actually, every other minority group and every other group, period, besides the African-American is patriarchal. We're the only one that's matriarchal in nature. But again, if I Google shortage of Asian men, I don't think I'm going to get much. Like, I don't know. I should go ahead and try it while we're on the show and take a look at that. But, again, the conversation doesn't seem to be as heated with any other groups like it is with African Americans. And I'm sure because no other group can say that there are more men that are going to prison than to college, besides probably Latino. Like, we can look at those statistics. So there are some discrepancies when you look at some numbers in those places. But as he stated, we all have issues, and we do know that because Andre and I see clients of all ethnicities and genders in our office on a daily basis. So we're not saying that black folks have more problems. We all have problems. I think for us that we just really want to kind of dispel that this is a myth, that there are no such thing as good black men. At least so far tonight, it sounds like everybody is saying, hey, there are good black men. Looks like we have another caller. I'm going to go back to Chicago. This is 773-414. You're on the air.
Hi. Hello.
Hi.
Hey, welcome.
This is Carolyn. Hi. Hi, Tanisha, Dr. Guy.
Hi. Who is on the air?
Hi.
Who are we talking to tonight?
This is Carolyn.
Hey, Carolyn.
How are you?
I'm good.
I'm glad you all are back.
Thank you.
Dr. Wise Brown, I love you.
Hey, guess what? I love you too.
I thank you for putting Sean in his place on a regular basis.
There's a lot of places. He sure does.
Yeah. Sean, I love you too.
I love you too.
Yeah, you keep me laughing. I wanted to know, just if I may, I just have a really quick question for Sean.
Certainly.
Do you really believe the things that you put forth, or are you playing devil's advocate?
Good question.
I believe them, like with all of my heart, and probably like at least 97% of my sales. I'm sure there might be three that might be in disagreement, but, you know, like, yeah, I really, you know, this has been my experience when I talk to my male friends and, you know, we sit around and, you know, I try to bring a perspective that is not necessarily heard by the masses all the time. But, yeah, I definitely believe it.
Okay. Okay. I just wanted to, because a lot of the times when I listen to the show, I'm like, he cannot be serious. And that's why I appreciate Dr. Brown Wise so much, because Dr. Brown Wise and I, we have a lot of the same opinion.
Oh, great. And let me just tell you this, he is so serious. If this, he doesn't just turn this on the air, he is, that is him off the air too. So,
oh my goodness.
Yes.
Okay.
This is not an ad.
Okay, time is free.
Carolyn, do you have a, let me ask you the question, because we are talking about, do we believe there's a shortage of good black men? What's your thoughts on that?
That's a total myth. I believe that whether or not a man is good is subjective.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the standards that you all were talking about a few weeks ago. Everyone has their own idea of what standard they want in a potential mate. Mm-hmm. I believe everyone has their own idea of what is good to them. And I'll give you an example from my own life. When I tuned into the show, Sean was speaking about some women think that a good black man is someone who's over 6 feet tall, making a certain amount of money with a career and what have you. I've met a man like that, and to other women, he may seem like, the epitome of what a good black man is. I'm not going to put it out there, but he works for the Department of Corrections, and he's getting ready to retire. He's over six feet tall, brown, about 225 pounds, very handsome. However, he's not a good man, in my estimation, because, and I'm, you know, I don't know, Tanisha, you know, you kind of know me a little bit. I kind of keep it real.
Mm-hmm.
A good black man, in my opinion, if you're going to, I heard a saying that says the proof of desire is pursuit. The proof of desire is pursuit. So whatever you really want, you're going to pursue it. You're not going to do it halfway. You're going to go after it. Let me keep this short. If you want a woman and you're interested in her, it's like I'm a little bit in agreement with Sean on this. You're going to take the time to get to know that person, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're going to take some time to get to know that person, right? So you're going to pay attention. We all have in our head, whether we vocalize it or not, we all have in our head what you were talking about, filters. The filters and, mm-hmm. and preferences to me are the same thing. That's just semantics. They're the same things. What you prefer, you're going to filter whoever you speak with, whoever you get together with to see if they meet your preference.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Preferences change. Filters change. So you are examining this person to see, as Sean said, is there some compatibility there? I think that was Sean that said that.
Mm-hmm.
Is there
yes.
some compatibility there? So, in this particular case, you have everything that most black women or white women or Hispanic women or whatever would say is a good black man if that's what you want. However, looking at you, you have a roving eye. Your eye, while you're talking to me, is scanning every other woman that walks past. You understand what I'm saying? So it is subjective. There are good black men there, but my definition of good may be different than someone else's definition of good.
Mm-hmm.
Because
well,
to me, that's not good.
This. So you know, and I'm gonna play devil's advocate. This is not really what I'm thinking, but you know, I have to do this from time to time. So what if, because of his career, he's just scanning the room because that's how he's been trained, and he's looking for people who might be potential threats, whether they be male or female? I'm just asking.
Okay, let me make this clear. I said he looks at every female.
Okay.
I didn't say
okay.
Men.
Okay.
He's looking at every woman, top to bottom, while he's standing there talking to me. And that's okay. That's okay, because we're not in any kind of relationship. You know, like I said, you've just been trying to push up on me for a couple of years. You never offered me a cup of coffee. You never offered to take me to lunch. You never offered to sit down and have a conversation.
Mm.
Okay, so, of course, as Dr. Guy said, I have a filter up. You have not passed that filter. Because my preference is, if you want to be with me, then I'm the one you should be looking at.
Mm-hmm.
So going back to the original question, are there good men, good black men? Yes. Good the white men? Yes. Good Asian men? Whatever. Yes, there are. But it's subjective. It's what you want. And that, and that can change from relationship to relationship. Because what you thought was good, now this is just my opinion, what you thought was good in this man, after you've dealt with that joker for a while, you might not want that anymore.
That is true. That is true. I'm mm-hmm. so glad you chimed in tonight. I know you'll be chiming in every week with us, but I definitely appreciate your comment tonight.
Yeah.
I'm
yes,
so glad
thank
you. You keep that whip cracking, Miss Brown.
I'm sharpening it as we speak.
Yeah, keep the whip cracking on that young man.
I think that's a different show. We're not really talking about whips and stuff.
Right, that's a different show, but we're going to get to that. You guys, we do have another caller. Let's go to Texas, 972. Let's see. Texas 972-576, you're on the air. All right, we'll try to come back to you. Let's go to Chicago, 708-743. You're on the air. Hello. Well, maybe we'll come back to you at 7:08. All right. So Carolyn made a valid point, you guys. She said it's about preference. She also confirmed what we believe the consensus is, that there are good black men. Now, before we went to Carolyn's question, I said, if I Google, is there a shortage of Hispanic men or Asian men, I want to know if they're going to, you know, if they're going to have any articles that pop up, just like when I Googled, is there a shortage of good black men? And not one article popped up. Not one. And I went through the first four or five pages, and not one. But there was an article that came up that says, is there a lack of marriageable men? So that was the only thing. So when the other guy was saying that, you know, all men have issues, totally agree with that. But it does seem like we put more emphasis on the lack of black men. And I'm wondering if Joe Neckbone earlier said that it's kind of what the media is doing. I'm wondering, have we bought into this whole media idea, or have we kind of put it out here because women have had really bad relationships or they're finding it difficult dating? Whatever the case may be, we know that it's out there, and it's been out there for several years now, and it continues to remain in the media. So,
I think that the problem actually started with educated black women who wrote mm-hmm. these articles because of their frustration, and it's something that has been marketed in that capacity. You know, if we talk about, you know, the amount of highly educated black women as in comparison to the black men, and I think that is something that they might have experienced, might have been a thesis paper, and has been something that's kind of been generated and the corporations have bought into. But I think a lot of that has to do with the educational system. Generally, the educational system is a masculine-type endeavor. So when you find women that are highly educated, they tend to have masculine qualities, and they do suffer finding that balance to find men sometimes.
Hmm. I think when you factor in that whole education piece, that really leads us into a different show. When you talk about black women are outnumbering men in college classrooms 8-1. So if you're looking at that, then, yeah, it may seem disheartening when you're sitting in a college classroom and all of your classmates are female. I say this all the time. When I was working on my doctorate, I was in a group of Caucasian women, and it was probably 7 or 8. And at that point, I had already had my bachelor's, I had my master's, and all these women started laughing, and they said, oh, I can't wait till I get my MRS. Now, mind you, I'm working on a PhD at this point, and I started thinking, MA, BA, LPC, NCC, like I started going through all the credentials in my head that I needed for my profession. And every woman in the room just looked at me because I wasn't laughing. So I didn't get that whole idea behind I can't wait to get my MRS, which is why they started their PhD program, because they were going to find their Mr. Right while in that program. I didn't get it until much later, but then I realized that didn't register to me because no one else in my classroom looked like me. In fact, no one in our counseling department was African-American but myself, and I was there for 3 years. So I think when we kind of add in that educational piece, that takes us into a whole different spin and a whole different topic when it comes to dating, I think, for the most part. Andrew, what are your thoughts? Did Wise Brown, did we lose Wise Brown tonight?
I can't imagine we did.
Wise Brown. Uh-oh.
Well, it's possible. See, it's possible. I think what's funny is we've spoken to Carolyn. I know you and I have been talking about some of my situations. I think I'm actually in the process of being in a filter. I don't know how I feel about that.
You are in a filter. But that's part of everybody, as Carolyn stated. I'm calling it filter, which you don't like. You're calling it preference. We're playing semantics with it. It's synonymous of each other, but I like the word filter, and you prefer the word preference.
Well, compatibility. I don't like being in it, I'll tell you that. Ooh.
I do like the word compatible. I think above everything else that we've talked about tonight, I'm really comfortable with saying the ideal person that we're talking about, good or bad, because it's so difficult when you put that good or bad on a topic. But when you talk about finding someone that's compatible, I think it gives you some room to use what Carolyn said, that it's really subjective. So it's based on everyone's individual likes and dislikes.
Yes, and I'm back. I'm sorry. But, yes, yes, of course, compatibility, that's the deal. No, so I totally agree with that, too. Good or bad depends on who it is, whom it is, and who are we looking at. Because what's good for one may not be good for another, but that doesn't mean that you rule that person out as not being, quotation marks in the air, a good black man.
Yeah, don't rule me out yet. I'm still working on myself. I might need to give me a session with Dr. Wise Brown so I can tell some of these tests get through this filter I'm going through right now.
Yes, just bring your checkbook. That is possible. I have availability. Bring your checkbook.
I have to be honest with you. I don't have checks.
Yeah, Andrew, you don't want to take a check from Sean. I'm sure you probably want your cash.
No, I mean,
at the beginning
no account I have that has any checks. It's card or nothing. We can PayPal, we can transfer it, but there's no checks. I have access to no checks.
Well, Sean, Andre takes all 3 C's, cash, check, credit, I'm sure. So
yes,
you can go ahead and schedule you an appointment.
Okay.
In fact, we may need to find you your own therapist.
Well, since we've already kind of went down this road, I think I would save some money on my introductory sessions.
Just seeing Andre. Yeah, because as you just heard it, Carolyn had to call in. She had to call in and say, Sean, what you're saying, do you really believe what you're saying? So now I don't feel so bad when I listen to the stuff that you say sometimes and respond with, I'm speechless because I don't know where that statement came from.
So it's not good.
I wish she would have been a little bit more direct about what she wanted to know that I believe in. Like, so I would have had
everything.
A better idea.
Yeah, everything. Everything that you say.
Everything.
Yeah. Let's start there. Let's start with everything that you say.
Well, yeah. I do believe you are a dinosaur. and, you know, perhaps that's why you and Carolyn get along. I'm not familiar with her, so maybe y'all come from the same age. I don't know.
Disgusting again. So now you are insulting. You don't know who Carolyn, how old Carolyn is. So you mean to tell me you are calling our longtime listener a dinosaur? I mean, it's okay when you insult me.
I'm saying that you all might be in the same demographical group.
And what if we're not? And what if we're not?
You know,
and it's you're the
issue.
You all
come from the same mentality, so I find it
but
very
Andra's
difficult
not,
to believe that you aren't in the same demographical group.
But Andra's not a dinosaur because of her age group.
Exactly.
Andra's a dinosaur because she's been with the same person for 20-plus years. That's
right,
what puts her in the dinosaur category when we talk about this whole new dating trend.
That would contribute to her being a little bit more senile and not up on the current trends with, you know, what's going on. As we can reference about her telling me to bring my checkbook.
Maybe. and I knew that's where he was going, T, Dr. Guy, and that's why I kind of let you, you know, kind of just basically bring him back down to reality. It doesn't matter the form of payment. Just as long as she gets paid, doesn't matter.
Right.
And we're talking about Andrea Wise Brown. But you know.
Gets paid for counseling.
Yeah. But the whole thing about, you know, I'm so fine when you call me a dinosaur in regards to being in a long-term relationship. I'm good. I can wear that. I can wear that stripe on my back. I'm fine with that.
Okay. So I think tonight's topic was a really interesting one. Hopefully we've all come to the conclusion that there are good men. So we have a few minutes left. Sean, no. We're going to go to Andra Wise Brown, Life Strategist. Do you have any closing remarks for tonight?
My closing remarks are going to be what my opening remarks were, was women, don't close yourself in a box. Don't believe the hype. There are good men out there. There are good black men out there, if that's what you're looking for specifically. And I would just say open your mind. Open your mind. Just because that person isn't for you, there's someone else. Yeah, more than them. Open your mind. There are a lot of men out there. Don't stop and don't get caught up in the hype.
Sean, closing remarks for you tonight.
Man, I just came to the realization I'm in a filter and I don't like it. So, you know, we will see what we can do to make sure we come out on the other end of this to determine if I'm a good black man or not, a good man or a good whatever. So, you know, that's kind of my personal trials and tribulations at the current moment. You know, I guess I have to take some advice from
a dinosaur.
Andrea's friend, and I think I might have to pursue a little bit more than I'm accustomed to. So we'll see how that turns out.
All right. Well, we so appreciate all of our listeners for tuning in tonight. Don't forget to tune in next week. I cannot believe we're in March already. But that's 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern. You guys, don't forget to Facebook it, tweet it, pass it on. Tell a friend about Dr. Guy's Monday Night Gumbo. And to all of our callers tonight, thank you so much for your comments and questions. You guys want to make sure you tune in next Monday. We're going to have, I guess the best word to say is an interesting show. And, Carolyn, I think you'll hear more of Sean's view on next week's show. Everyone, have a good night.
Yes, good night, everyone, and thanks for calling. Thanks for supporting.
Have a blessed
week. I need to go in here and write me a poem or something.
Bye, Sean.
Bye, Sean.